everybody. Welcome to Angry Dorks. Yay. We've got the Ed Greer here.
Hey, what is up, my man?
At edgreerdestroys.com. No, wait, that's not it.
Well, no, I'm about to... I was about to announce that I was going to buy that domain, and now some asshole is going to buy it. Well, maybe people who like us might not do that, but...
Yeah, hopefully.
Edgreerdestroys.com, that will be my website. Supportdestruction.com is my website, and at edgreerdestroys is my Twitter.
Yeah, we got Matt Blackwood.
How's it going? I don't have a website. I should get a website.
I should too.
I wonder if mattblackwood.com is available. I should go find out.
I know ronswallow.com used to be available because I had it for a minute.
But not Ron Swallow's.
No.
That's your website.
Yeah.
That is not available.
Yeah, mattblackwood.com is registered under villains.com. It's all villains are named Blackwood.
That's right. Do we have any nerdy rants, guys? Any nerdy rants? Ed?
Well, I don't know, man. You know what I think we should try?
Yeah, sure.
Honestly?
Yeah, let's do it.
To work them in to the shit that we're talking about.
That's not going to be possible in all cases.
Well, oh, in your case?
Yeah. In my case.
Matt Blackwood actually has one. I mean, I already know that.
All right,
this one's been waiting a couple weeks because the past couple weeks we've been spending time on Ron's rants because they've gotten everybody riled up. But this one is about cell phone games or iPad, whatever. Specifically, Words with Friends, games like that. It's real simple. Don't fucking nudge me. We're playing Scrabble, bouncing words off of satellites, with these magic devices that are in our hands, this thing that we've only dreamed of having something so convenient.
Yeah.
Convenient being the key word there, that I can take my turn whenever the fuck I fucking want.
Are people giving you shit about it?
And if I have shit to do, I have shit to do. It's great that you take your turn 30 seconds after I take my turn, whatever, but I'm busy.
Yeah.
I've got a fucking life.
That same thing happens to me too. I'm waiting.
And you're like, oh,
where are you?
You know what?
Where do you want to know where I am? I'm busy doing shit. Like living my life. You know, paying the bills with my mad skills.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't have a job.
I said it.
I don't have a job where I can check my cell phone while I'm at my job. I don't have a job where I can even spare the muscles to come up with a word for Words with Friends. I write for a living.
Yeah.
I'm writing all day long. I don't have those muscles available to me. I don't have a job where I'm staring at numbers or babysitting children or whatever, where like I'm taking my solace in my phone. Like I'm fucking busy.
Yeah. Also,
I'll get to it when I get to it.
Also, by the way, I'm not cheating. I know you all seem to think I'm cheating, but it's something crazy called reading. And also on Words with Friends, you can just put letters in there and see if they work.
Yeah, guess what? There's no such thing as cheating on Words with Friends, guys.
Yeah.
Because there's no challenging.
Yeah.
So you can just try as many times as you want, and nobody knows that you tried 50 gazillion times to hit in that triple word before you finally did.
Yeah. Also, if you're playing me, let's be smart and don't leave me a triple word score, because I'll get it and then you'll lose. Can we do that? All right, great.
Words
with Friends shit talk hour.
I got to give a big shout out to my brother who got the biggest fucking Words with Friends score I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, wow.
He got 269 points on one word.
What the fuck? That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He hit the triple word, the double word, and put a Z on a triple letter.
Oh,
all in one word.
Fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, I do have to give out props to Ken August, who's on the weekly wrap up and on Bad Advice here on Skid Row, because I cannot beat him. He's the only guy I have not been able to beat.
I love that. Those type of people improve your play.
Yeah, exactly. I like it.
I like playing a game where I feel like there's two types of people. There's the type of people that play a game, and when they lose it a couple times, they're like, fuck this game. This game's stupid. And there are the people that play a game and they lose it a couple times and they go, oh, okay, I see what I have to do to get better at this game. And then they try and they try and then they get fucking better at the game.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, you know, every one in a million, you got your little Bobby Fischer kid that's like, I understand this game intuitively my first time playing,
and
I can beat masters. But, you know, I feel like for the most part, like you fall into one of those two camps, and I like the people that want to play the games that they suck at and get better.
Yeah, that's fun. right.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get that. It's just such a first world problem. Yeah. I guess all of our rants will be that way.
Well, it's nerdy rant. What are we gonna?
Oh, you can tell. Talking about my mood.
We're gonna talk about my lack of food.
Ed is in one of those moods because. Why are we talking about nerd shit at all anyway?
When people are starving in goddamn Africa.
In goddamn Africa. Well, I didn't mention that.
No.
I wasn't even going to mention the kids from the 50s that used to starve in China. I'm just saying, like...
Hey, relax, man. They're all dead now. It's fine.
Hey, but there's more. No, but here's the thing.
Not many.
I was thinking, with the nudging and the blah, 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 I just think somebody out there would say, well... If you don't have time to play, why do you want to play? Like, you can play a computer at Words with Friends, or not necessarily Words with Friends, but like Klee plays all these stupid games where do stuff, and you can play at your own pace with automatons. Listen,
this was the whole thing with Scrabble, is that while you were playing, your turn had to be timed, not to make sure you weren't on the up and up, whatever, because they could see you, mm-hmm. but because it means you're taking away the other person's time.
Yeah.
You are inconveniencing the other person. That element is completely removed. I can take my turn whenever I want, and it doesn't affect you one way or the other.
Yeah,
if you don't see the turn for a month, you look at it and go, oh, hey, here's that game. Who gives a shit if it took a month? You're playing like, I mean, I know these people that are nudging me are playing like 7-8 games or whatever because they want to play all the time.
Yeah.
And it's great that you want to play Scrabble all the time. I don't want to play Scrabble all the time. Yeah. I enjoy playing Scrabble. Well, I'll play with you when I can. And if that's not good enough for you, fucking quit and that's it. Well, don't nudge me.
You're like, I'm just saying, dude, you're like castigating these people for being very, very, very enthusiastic about the game.
No. Not for playing their turns immediately. That's fine. I'm saying for nudging me, for sending me messages that say, take your turn.
No. They want to engage with you, man, so you can look at it positively. They want to engage with you.
My foot with their dicks.
I'm just playing devil's advocate, but honestly, I mean, I'm just saying that's true.
No, it is true. It is true. You got a good point. Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
We were going to talk about Star Wars, and we already talked a little bit about it when we were a little worried that Disney took over.
Man, why are we talking about nerd stuff again?
I know.
People started on the moon.
Yeah.
They ain't got no oxygen up there, man.
Actually, you know what's funny? You were talking about the game thing and the nudging. There was a guy who was complaining about Obama and how the whole world was going to go to shit. And he like wanted me to give him a call, so I call him. I'm talking to him on the phone.
Obama. You're talking to Obama.
Not Obama. My friend. whose name I won't say because it's impolite, but I'm talking to him on the phone.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, it was Mitt Romney. And the guy's like, you know, this is bullshit, man. The economy's fucked and everybody wants to just vote for some dude who already, you know, didn't do anything to make it better. This is bullshit, man. This is bullshit. Oh, fuck, man. Fuck, I can't get past this part in Assassin's Creed 3. And here's what I'm thinking, like, you're having economic problems, but you're playing Assassin's Creed 3? Shut the fuck up.
Well, I happen to work with a bunch of dudes who, like, literally, dude, they work this, like, really lame hour and lame salary job, commission sales job that I work as well, so it's pretty lame. But these dudes will be just talking so Republican. And it's like, bro, you make less than $20 an hour. You don't need to be sucking Republican ball sack.
Yeah.
It's
not going to help you.
It doesn't make sense. It
does nothing.
You know what I'm saying? It's like me worshiping that, you know.
And no one should. I mean, as far as economics goes, because if you're already making $250,000 to $300,000 and they tax you a good amount of percentage, you still have $150,000 to $200,000 to work with. You know, like I have $11,000 to work with, if that.
Well, see, but that's the thing. Rich people would counter that with, well, when you have, you know, $300,000, you're going to want $300,000, not $150,000. You know what I mean? And so
I would say, I hear what you're saying, except for the part where I would be so happy that I had $150,000 and could pay my bills on time.
Here's the problem with that argument every time. Man, we are getting more political than we've ever gotten on the show.
Yeah, I know. Well,
it doesn't matter. We are dorks and we have opinions. This is the problem with that argument every time, is because it presupposes that the amount of money you're making is a reasonable amount. It's a proportional amount for the amount of work you do or the amount of quality of the work you do.
Yeah.
And it's not. A lot of people work a lot harder than other people that make a lot more money than they do.
Yep.
And like fucking CEOs, You know why they make that much money? Because they're the ones who have the power to decide whether they get a raise or not. Yeah. Because guess what? If somebody asks you for a raise, you know, if you have to ask somebody for a raise, chances are you ain't getting a raise.
Yeah.
If you have to ask, do I deserve a raise? You're going to answer that question in the affirmative 100% of the times.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like my brother right now, he packs popcorn for a living for like 15 hours a day. He's literally putting
that's dangerous, man. You get the popcorn lung.
Yeah. Well,
and that's way worse than the black lung, not because it's worse for you, like physically. But because it's super bad for you physically and it sounds like a fucking joke.
Yeah.
But a real thing, little tiny bits of popcorn get in your fucking lungs and fuck your shit up.
Yeah, my brother.
That is a real thing.
My brother's working his ass off to barely pull off paying rent in Washington. And it's like, but people will be like, that's the job he chose, blah, blah, blah. But how about where he deserves to get a lot of money for working his ass off? Like we all do. Like that's the thing. If you don't do anything and you make a bunch of money, don't complain to me that you have to pay a little bit of taxes. That's how I feel about it.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people, you know, like I said, if you don't ever work, really, or if you work in a way that, like, dude, these people spin so many stories about, like, man, you know what I used to do, man? I used to caddy at the fucking, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, man, we were on the links, man. Sometimes it was 100 degrees out there, man, and I had to drive that fucking cart all over God's creation. So don't you tell me about working hard, because blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? They've got it in their head.
Or even if they did construction for a little bit.
Wait, hold on. You mean that job that if I went to the golf course that I'd have to do for myself while I'm golfing, that'd be part of what I was paying $50 for the day for.
Yeah.
Dude, exactly. But dude, like I said, you can't. But okay, but we were going to talk about, well, this segues into this perfectly because...
I can't believe he's going to do this.
Watch
guys,
this.
Guys, this is going to be a masterful be awesome. Segue.
Look at this.
This is going to be like a Joe Blue style segue.
Well, now you fucked it up.
Now you've created such high expectations that there's no way.
No, it segues.
I'm sorry, I've made a huge mistake.
No, it segues in this. These guys are honestly suffering under an embarrassment of riches, being born white, being born in a nice area, getting a nice education almost as a compulsory thing. And then from that point, you know, being at a pinnacle where you could, if you fuck up, you land on the clouds. These guys think they worked hard and these guys are, you know, having this embarrassment of riches and they don't know how rich they are. And the nerd community doesn't know how rich it is because J.J. Abrams supposedly will be involved in Star Wars as well as Star Trek. Now, I tend to think of that as a great thing, a positive thing. I don't know about a great thing. And I want to talk to you guys about that. Is it a great thing? Is it a positive thing? Is it a weird monopoly that sucks?
Well, and that's something that I'm wondering about as well. Is like, okay, now he's got Star Trek, so now he's going to do Star Wars too. And I liked the Star Trek. I don't know how about you guys. What do you guys feel about Star Trek, the new Star Trek?
Loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
I liked it a lot. I think I enjoyed the action treatment of that. You know what I mean? They kind of actioned it up a bit.
Yeah.
And they kind of beefed up Tiberius Kirk's, you know, backstory in a cool way. You know, I felt like they kind of made him cool. And I think that they kind of excused themselves from having to be canonical with the old show or whatever.
They did pay emotional lip service to it by having the old Spock basically give his seal of approval in the movie and say, yes, see, we're not spitting in their faces. We're taking their blessing.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, all that was very masterful. Well,
And J.J. Abrams, I mean, what he said is great. He's like, I want to honor the fans by bringing them a great, fun story that evokes emotions. That's one of the things he said on an interview. And it's like that's a nice sentiment. I get worried because
seems to me that's the sentiment of every writer. But go
exactly.
On.
Well, he's not writing it; he's directing it. He's not going to write it. He's going to direct it. It's going to be the guy who did Toy Story 3.
Oh, you're talking about Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Okay.
Star Wars, yeah. J.J. Abrams is going to direct it. And the problem is, like, movie-wise, I've liked a lot of things J.J. Abrams done, honestly. But I've disliked his TV show, at least a couple of them, I think. But The Lost made
he co-wrote and directed the pilot of Lost and did nothing else on that show for the rest of that show.
Well, that makes more sense because the pilot was the only thing I liked.
Okay. Well, I mean,
there you go.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he wanted to fire the shot. He wanted to ask the question. You know, if you've ever seen his TED talk, which I highly recommend, the thing about the mystery box, you know, he's like, I am so interested in creating a mystery, but I don't want to open it. He's like, I don't like the revelation of it is never a good payoff, which is the same argument that Brian K. Vaughan made about his Why the Last Man ending, and both of them, that TV show and that comic, I didn't dig the endings. But I think that's kind of a cop. It's kind of true. It's true that in most cases, the resolution of the mystery is not as much fun as the mystery itself, and that's why we watched the thing in the first place. But at the same time, it's kind of a cop out that your mystery resolution didn't give people the sense of closure that they wanted. Like, you watch the fucking Usual Suspects, and the end answer, I'm not going to spoil it, but Jesus Christ, if you haven't seen The Usual Suspects, what the fuck are you doing? But the end answer, by the end of it, when you're given that answer, you realize, oh, I don't know jack shit.
Yeah.
Everything's been taken from you, and it's so pleasing. Well, it's so, yeah, it, like, I mean, you're like, oh, that's the surprise. That is the only way that could
like
have
a really
ended.
Good joke.
But it's because that is the most difficult feat in the arts.
Yeah.
The inevitable ending that is the only ending is fucking amazing. And literally 2% of movies have it.
That is the most difficult if you start writing without knowing where it's going to end. Yeah. And I contend, and I have for a while, that those projects where somebody just starts writing and doesn't know where it's going to go, it can hit some of the most magical places. And I feel like Stephen King does that. He has said he does that.
Even though I hate him.
Brian K. Vaughan, Damon Lindelof, and Carlton Cuse said they did that. They didn't say that while they were making the show, but they said that after about Lost. But it can hit some of the most wonderful, beautiful, unexpected places because they didn't know where they were going to go and they just let the momentum take them. But you're sacrificing on your endings. Stephen King's endings are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Ever since, I don't know when he made the switch, but at some point his books got too long and the endings got too shitty. But like, it's not that he's incapable of it.
Have you read Gerald's Game?
No, I haven't.
It's got a kind of a whopper of an ending to me. And somewhere out there, somebody's going, Gerald's Game, get the fuck out of it. You know, but honestly, if you read the book and you struggle through this giant fat book about this chick having these weird dreams while she's chained to a bed, and then you see what happens at the end, you're just like, whoa. There's a nice little chill. Like, it chills you a little bit.
Well, Dreamcatcher has some cool stuff in it. Doesn't have a good ending. Like, even the fucking Green Mile doesn't have a good ending.
But see, that's what I'm saying, though. I don't think it's just those things that you decide you don't know how to resolve, or you start with this manic energy and all this bullshit. That's not the problem. It's fucking hard to design a movie that ends properly. People have gone to every extreme to not have to end a movie properly. Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction ending with a fucking coffee shop scene because it was the best scene in the movie. And he's like, shit. If I did this chronologically, this scene would come right here, and then I'd have all the string of shit. The chronology doesn't work.
Yeah,
I'm going to make the best scene the last scene. Yeah. That's how much people struggle to make an ending. The ending of Memento, of anybody seen that? There's this sort of hell that this guy's put himself through for years and years, and then you get this catharsis, and you find out he's just going to keep doing that.
Yeah, that's why I like action films a lot of times, because the last scene is going to be the bad guy fighting the good guy in some great action sequence where some shit explodes and someone dies.
And it's always the inevitable ending that could be the only ending, but that's why those movies, honestly, even though like Die Hard and stuff are really great movies, what Blackwood's talking about in that, the stories that are like a puzzle, like imagine an ill-ass action movie that had a Fight Club / Usual Suspects ending.
Yeah.
That would be the best fucking movie of all time.
That would be fucking incredible.
That would be the best fucking movie of all time. You know why people haven't done it? Because it's so hard.
Matrix was close.
Christopher Nolan tried to do it with Inception.
Yeah.
And the criticisms of Inception are not wrong. I just think it, like that, hey, they explain stuff constantly, but you're talking about, this is like a huge budget movie. I mean, does yeah. anybody know how much Inception cost to make? Easily $150 million.
It's like 100 to 189 million or something.
Something I remember. Way high.
Like huge.
All right. Yeah. So you're talking about a huge blockbuster.
So it's got to make $500 million.
That's all a puzzle about invading people's dreams, something that nobody would be able to make, whatever. And you're going to nitpick now? You know what I mean? It's not like it had huge fucking holes in it. It was like, okay, well, you know, that movie wasn't a perfect movie. But it was a really good, interesting movie.
Well, but here's the deal. Here's the deal, though. I'm speaking for the people who criticized that movie. Number one, if I'm going to have a motherfucker spend $180 million or $200 million, I better see it on the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Inception doesn't, you don't see it on the screen. And that dude does action like your grandma does crump dancing. It's fucking awful. The endless scenes of dudes machine gunning into nothingness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're just shooting machine guns willy-nilly. And when the mind of the person attacks them, it's always just this amorphous blob of people. It's not like that the original angry mob that they had in the first scene, that was magnificent because it was like, oh shit, this is what somebody's mind can do. An amorphous mob might come and get you.
Yeah,
but what
shit,
about
well, how about
know,
the buildings crushing you?
Right, buildings crushing you. How about they take that bitch on the mission, right? And while they're doing the mission, she's got to make a door. Then she's got to make a freeway. Then she's got to make a this. Then she's got to make a that. She's making bigger and bigger shit. And the dude's mind is going, bitch, the expressway don't go that way. Yeah. I'm going to close this giant wall of skyscrapers on your fucking ass.
Yeah. Just,
that's hot. That's yeah. $180 million worth of shit.
And the same reason why I had a problem with Matrix 2 and Matrix 3, even though I loved the fight scenes because mm-hmm. I'm a fight scene whore, The fight scenes they could have done, like there's a, remember when he fights all the Agent Smiths, and the fight scene's pretty cool in that, and he does get more and more intense, and he does start doing more and more crazy shit, but the crazy shit he could have done is when they started running at him, he just picks up cement like it's fucking silly putty, wraps them all up in silly in the fucking cement, and throws it to the fucking moon.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
you know what I mean?
He could have like, grabbed their back fat.
He could have been like Superman. But I mean, that's what I mean.
My
like,
problem with that
he's
is
supposed
that
to control the Matrix, and if you're supposed to be able to control the Matrix,
it wasn't that fantastic. I mean, honestly, every time they have equally superpowered people punching each other, yeah. and they hit buildings and they just sort of crack, it's just like,
yeah.
In my opinion, they didn't earn that. And it was a lot of punches thrown or whatever. And like ultimately, it felt a little bit to me like watching that. That little stick man fighting video on YouTube or whatever.
Like, but only not as interesting because the lack of inflection in those images of the stick man fighting are pretty interesting. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The way they convey emotion with those very little lines. When you look at all the palette that the Wachowski brother and sister
they've got all of Keanu Reeves' expressive face. But also that the big climax of this guy versus this guy, they didn't earn that because they just completely went back on. There are those that argue, and that I know that's a fucking cop out for me to say there are those that argue instead of just saying I argue this, whatever. I don't know what happened with that lady whose book got stolen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say. She wrote a book. She went to Warner Brothers or whoever or whatever and pitched that book becoming a movie. She wrote a treatment for that movie. And all I know is the opening scene from Terminator, if you've read it, is fucking directly from the book. Like, that is something that is in the book. Like, you can look at them side by side.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you don't even have to. Everybody remembers the opening scene of Terminator with the machines roll, like, stepping on skulls or whatever. As soon as you read that in that book, you go, holy fucking shit.
It's
this lady pitched to that movie studio before Terminator came out? Oh, shit. You know?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. James Cameron wrote a great script, but they may have said, hey, here's this sci-fi movie. Here's how it's going to open. Here's the kind of basic ideas that is people versus machines. You know what I'm saying?
Where do you want to go with it?
And the thing is, The Matrix was also, they also settled out of court with that lady.
Yeah, that shows that they...
Who, I mean, that doesn't, honestly, that doesn't say anything because usually people the easiest things to settle.
Yeah.
Even with crazy, they settle out crazy people all the fucking time. You just don't hear that much about it.
When you're about to make good gobs of money. Yeah.
But that book, I believe, is available for you to just read. I don't remember the name of it.
I don't
know.
Well,
but also,
look up Terminator Matrix sci-fi book.
Grant Morrison would say that they ripped it off of The Invisibles. And somebody else would say that Grant Morrison ripped him off to make The Invisibles, which the Wachowski brothers could have jacked because they did work for Marvel and DC, I think, as comic book writers back in the day.
Well, I mean,
it's like,
things, look, even if you go away from all that, like I said, like, I don't know what happened. Stuff gets into your subconscious. You end up stealing things and not even knowing you stole them. I completely understand that.
And the thing is, in the end, I don't want to argue for sampling culture, especially being a black person. but a lot of times, dude, it's like City on Fire. Yes, Reservoir Dogs is very much like City on Fire, but Reservoir Dogs is mad better than City on Fire, dude.
No. I don't have anything against that. I'm saying completely separate from that. Mm-hmm. The story of the world that was set up in the first Matrix is not paid off in Matrix 2 and 3.
Oh, that's exactly right.
They took a huge turn, and it seemed to me, it was before the Twitter age, but it seemed to me that it was that, hey, people really liked Agent Smith. That was a villain they could hold on to. They can't hold on to this architect shit. They can't hold on to the idea of the machines as an entity. We need a face for our villain. So let's make it this Mr. Smith guy. And they can make peace with the machine. Peace with the motherfucking machines?
No, fuck that.
Peace with Skynet? Never. Fucking never. I will walk out of here right now.
Don't do it, dude.
No.
We agree with you.
I absolutely agree with that assessment. But that's another thing, to dovetail it back to what we're talking about, coming up with a big mystery and then resolving it, and then there's no other mystery, that fucked them. They made a perfect good one movie, and these assholes said, we'd make some more. And they were like, yeah, it was originally a trilogy. No, it wasn't. Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Don't fucking
no, it
lie to
wasn't.
Us.
No, it wasn't. And it's so fucking obvious. You know what I mean?
And that's fair. The first Matrix is fucking great.
Yeah.
Nobody can take that away. Like anybody who's like, who's shitting on the first Matrix, they're
wrong. Yeah.
It's just in like 14 years retrospect. That movie was groundbreaking. It was cool. It was fun. It was everything.
I was just watching
everything you want in a movie.
I was watching the last fight scene between when he finally decides to fight the agent Smith. In the subway there. I was watching that fight scene. And he loses.
Fucking great.
It's awesome. And then he runs. And then in the end, when he finally realizes it 100%, it's like he doesn't even look at him. He just blocks all the things. And then you're like, what?
He's like, dude, I mean, it really makes your heart sing in a way that a lot of postmodern movies don't do. Yeah. But here's the thing. We're dovetailing back to what we were freaking talking about for the last 20 minutes.
Which was about what I was going to do.
But yeah. Oh, well, okay. The thing about
I was going to say,
a lot of J.J. Abrams' best stuff is the mystery stuff.
Yeah.
Like Cloverfield is my favorite J.J. Abrams project. And I understand people's quibbles about it. It's shaky cam and just kind of stupid.
No, I'm kidding. You
know, all that stuff. But honestly.
No, for serious though, two of the people we were with threw up while watching them.
But the coolest thing about Cloverfield, just in closing in my remarks in this section, is Cloverfield is dope because it's about people who are chilling out and then a giant fucking monster attacks. And you are worried about, well, you're not really worried about because they're too crummy. But bottom line is you're supposed to worry about these people as they have an adventure around this monster. At no point is there a goddamn scientist going, yes, it appears as though, hey, get those kids out of here. No, there's not one of those scenes. There's scenes where, you know, people blow up and weird shit is happening to establish the threat. But never do we get any straight out and out explanations of anything about the monster. And the monster just is.
Yeah.
That's the beauty part about it. The monster is and the story is around the thing.
And I think he'll do that with Star Wars because he did that with Star Trek. That's one of the things I really enjoyed about the Star Trek is I don't feel like there was like they tried to do a shitload of explanation because we already know Star Trek and we already know Star Wars. And I think that what they're going to do is just dive into it. I just don't know where they're going to go. I'm really interested to see where they're going to go because I know my understanding is that they're not going to use the books.
Well, he's got an infinitely. The only thing I'm concerned about, if I sound like a Philistine, whatever. The only thing I'm concerned about is the fact that J.J. Abrams knows action 100,000 times better than George Lucas, 100 times better than anybody except maybe Lawrence Kasdan. Yeah. When you look at that fight scene in the end with Vader and Homeboy, that's a very well choreographed scene. It's beautiful.
It's intense. It's nice. There's emotions in that fight scene.
Right.
Are you familiar with Are you familiar with Lawrence Kasdan's role in the upcoming films, though?
No.
No.
Okay. So here's the information.
And I meant Irv Kirshner. Irv Kirshner directed Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Kasdan wrote it. My bad.
I have not heard anything about Irving Kirshner. But okay.
Well, he's dead.
That is a motherfucker.
I think we know his role in the next movie.
He's going to be a force ghost.
Yeah, he's
going to be.
He's going to be standing
played
next
by
to Yoda.
Channing Tatum.
Okay, so we know that Michael Arndt, who is a fantastic screenwriter, is going to be taking on the movies. I can only assume that they met with several good screenwriters, Oscar winners like he is, and said, "Would you be interested in this?"
Yeah.
And I gotta say, it's going to be a Star Wars fan. You know what I mean? Like, only a Star Wars fan is going to be able to sell themselves enough to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm confident that we're talking about a Star Wars fan here.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yep.
And J.J. Abrams is a great director.
Yeah, we know it's going to look amazing.
He's not writing it, like you said. Yep. He's not writing it. He's going to be making it look awesome, making everything come together, making it work. And Star Trek fucking worked.
Yeah.
It worked. Agreed. All the weird shit with time travel and whatever, like, everybody put it out of their heads. It worked.
Yep.
So I think that the new movie is going to kick ass. It's going to work. Now, as, you know, a huge fan of, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Trek, or the original Star Wars films, you know, you wonder about Lawrence Kasdan. You're like, he's still kicking. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right? Like, can they get him?
Can they get him? Yeah.
Well, it turns out the announcement they made shortly after was that they were going to do movies in addition to 7, 8, and 9 to continue the series and
Han Solo.
Ostensibly to finish the series.
Yeah.
They are going to go ahead and start simultaneously releasing just other movies in the Star Wars universe, which is a fucking great idea. They should be doing it anyway. Wow. They are going to start off not too far away, though. They are going to start off doing a movie about Boba Fett.
Yep, that's what I heard.
Well, it's about bounty hunters, and Boba Fett is like the lead, but apparently it's going to be about multiple bounty hunters.
Well, if they do it right, if they're doing it based on the books, they'll do the Bounty Hunter Wars, which will be awesome, if that's what they do.
Well, they'll probably steal the best parts out of the book.
I imagine, yeah, and make it work as a movie. Yeah. But the other thing they're doing is they're doing a Han Solo prequel.
Yeah,
I guess they figured, okay, well, we've now seen exactly where Luke came from, for better or worse. We've seen it, but you know, the first time we see Han is when he's already got all this stuff, which is the perfect way to introduce somebody, in my opinion. They're a fully formed person. Oh, I already owe this motherfucker money. You know, I need this, whatever. I won this ship, you know?
Yeah.
Right. That's great. They're going to do a prequel. They're going to do young Han Solo, and they're going to get somebody who's like 20s, early 30s
and
to play him.
Probably super hot.
Yeah.
Probably be great.
Dude, I want him to, you know what?
Channing Tatum.
No. dude, Josh Hartnett.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I want Josh Hartnett. That'd be freaking amazing.
That's not too bad.
Josh Hartnett is
not
Han Solo.
Too bad. It's
That's
pretty awesome. Good. It's pretty good.
Pretty
guys.
Solid.
It's you
pretty
know who
solid.
Would be good? might be a little old now, but from Lost, Josh.
The long haired dude?
Yes, last name.
He's buff and.
Sawyer from Sawyer. Lost.
Yeah. He'd be a good Han Solo. He is old. He's too old now, but yeah. Unless they did a 30s Han Solo.
Right. And if they do one that's like right beforehand, whatever, I don't know. I think he'd be a good action lead swashbuckler guy.
Yeah, he'd be pretty badass.
It's one of those things where I always feel like he's wasted every time I see him.
Man,
like,
I can't wait till
he could be in action movies. Come on, man.
I can't wait till
he could have been Gambit. He would have been a sweet Gambit.
Yeah, he would have been a badass Gambit.
He wouldn't have been able to fit into those little booties, but, you know.
I hope they introduce Like, I mean, I know are they going to say how Han and Chewie got together? You know what I mean? Like,
I think that either they're going to introduce how they got together, or it's going to start off where they're already buddies together. And we've got them the whole time, which yeah. I'd prefer. But anyway,
we're going to get to see their smuggling
the
days.
So that, apparently, the intro to Chewie would be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty badass, yeah. Him because he saves his life.
That would be a nice action scene to open the movie.
Yeah. In fact, if it were a two-header, if we were watching. You know, how Han Solo came to the position that he was in, and also how Chewie came to the position he was in. We saw them both as young people.
Dude, Lethal Weapon with Chewie and Han.
Yes.
Fuck yes.
He's getting too old for this. thank you. I can't do one at all. Anyway, apparently that is what Lawrence Kasdan is going to be working on. He's going to be writing that. But like I said, because they're doing them simultaneously, they can't have one person do everything, but yeah, but that bodes well as far as I'm concerned. I feel like he has had years with that knocking around in his head of how did Han Solo get there, and now he gets to put it on paper. I'd much prefer they have him handle the prequel and have a new blood come in for the next one.
I
approve of what they are doing.
That makes sense. That makes sense. His affinity for the original character.
As far as my opinion of it, in general, nobody could screw it up as bad as Lucas screwed it up.
That's kind of how I feel, too.
I mean, it's damage done.
That's sad, though. Just imagine that.
Poor Lucas, dude. I mean, I don't feel too bad for him. But at the same time, part of the reason he sold it was because he apparently was just so upset that everybody was mad at him. Like, apparently, that's literally part of the reason. It was like, everybody fucking hates me.
Is that not supposition?
Yeah. What do you mean?
I mean, what's the... I have not heard that.
Yeah, I heard that was part of the thing was he... I mean, there was some interviews saying it was like, no matter what I do, everybody's pissed off at me. I made what I thought was good, and everybody hates me.
Well, this is the thing with that.
Tired of making blockbusters.
The thing with that is there are very clear reasons why it is bad, and I think you need yes, there is disagreement, but I feel like, you know, it's clear enough. It should be clear enough that in retrospect he says, oh, this is what I did wrong.
Yeah.
And he has yet to say that.
That's when I go back and watch an old set of me doing comedy.
The thing that I can't forgive on George Lucas is him never being able to say, I would change this, and that in Phantom Menace. I would change it. Because we know what happens when he would change something. He would make it worse. I mean, like, look at all the changes, like the special editions. Like, I mean, everything he changed was for the worse. There's a reason he felt Han shoots first.
Well, yeah, he also felt that they were things that made it more aesthetically up to date. Like, most of them were weird aesthetically up to date things or more immersive things. And then, of course, there were egregious mistakes.
I'm not talking about the digital remastering, though. The digital remastering, nobody complained about.
Well, no, I know, but
nobody reasonable complained about it.
There were
people that complained, like, hey, I can't see the string anymore.
Well, no, he did take, you know, doing it over way too far. Adding a bunch of weird sand lizards and shit in the background for no reason, trying to make it more immersive or more look big budgety. It didn't make sense. So I can see that. I'm just saying, like, it is terrible to have created something and then have mishandled it to this point where it's like, and who's to say that he did, though? Who's to say that the original movies aren't a mistake that he made that we happen to dig? Like, you know, you're making a drawing.
And that has been an argument and an interesting one. But the question is, you know, when can you separate the artist from the art? I mean, at a certain point, well, you know, like Picasso said, you just have to walk away from the motherfucker. And in the case of a movie, that thing comes out in a theater. You know what I mean? It's gone. It's done. And I'm kind of the mind of fuck a director's cut. The director's cut is whatever came out in the theater. That's what got done. I mean, hell, that's what Ridley Scott said, right?
Right.
I mean, he was like, look, people keep asking for these director's cuts and stuff like that, so I'll put them out. You know, they make money, people like them, whatever, fine. But like in his little statement in Alien, he's like, I like Alien, like I like how it is, you know. But if people want to see, you know, like it moves at a good clip. But if people want to see more, you know, here's a bigger cut, I guess.
Which is just hilarious to me because Alien to me is so boring.
No. But,
yep.
How long's it been?
I don't like it.
I just saw it a couple
and
months
I just
ago.
Watched, and I just
Mandy
watched
for
Prometheus.
The first time.
And I just watched Prometheus. And Prometheus to me, a lot of people thought that was boring. That was not boring at all to me.
Okay. Oh, boring was never the problem with Prometheus,
well, yeah,
as far as I was concerned. But no, I rewatched it planning to be bored. I was thinking, because I remember being bored as a kid watching Alien. And I was like, all right, well, this will be a slog, but it's necessary to get to Aliens.
Yeah, it's better.
Because I was showing Mandy the entire quadrilogy.
Yeah, it's better than when I was a kid because I understand more of the psychological resonance and blah, 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 blah. But in the end, there's certain things that are just better than other things. And Aliens, the same way that dumbasses think that Dark Knight is better than Batman Begins, is how I think Aliens is better than Alien. It owes a lot to the first movie, obviously, the whole structure and framework and her whole backstory. But, dude, Aliens, I believe, I can argue that Aliens, if it just came out, that would be the dope movie, dude. That movie would be dope.
Yes, but Alien completely works and is awesome.
I don't like to end with the alien when the alien, and no spoilers, but when the alien comes out of that one place, and
if
he's
it's
all
a
like,
spoiler,
he's all
get your shit together and watch Alien.
Right.
Jesus.
He's on some jazzercise shit when he comes out. He's like, ah, he throws little jazz hands out at her when he's hiding in that pipe and he goes, ah, I'm here.
Instead of just eating
and then he just sort of shambles up to her like, dun, 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 dun. It's just lame.
Yeah, whereas the rest of it's just him catching and killing things like super fast.
Yeah, but he just comes
hesitation.
Out from behind the pipe. He's all extra groggy and shit. He's like, oh man, take me an alien nap, dog. Hey, bitch, why you got them little panties on? Man, I'm about to eat you, girl. Hold on, let me get my slippers on. That's his whole attitude at the end of the movie when he's been rending everyone else asunder.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's whack. You know what I mean? Ugh. I don't like it. It's not cool.
Ed's just mad because the alien died at the end and he was on the alien side.
No, dude. I mean, yeah, because the aliens, another one, in Aliens, they use 5 dancers and bodysuits to make 100, 200, 500 aliens, all coming from nowhere. Crazy, you know, dudes with shotgun/grenade launcher/flamethrowers can't fuck with these dudes because there's so many of them, they bleed acid and... It was just dope, man.
Hey, no argument that Aliens is a better movie than Alien.
I'm just saying
that Alien is good, and it was much less boring than I thought it was when I was a kid.
I agree with both of those points. It's
Alien,
still boring compared
Alien
to
3, Alien 3, watching that also, I was like, oh, I remember hating this one, but I guess we'll watch it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was watching it going like, I fucking like this.
Yep.
It's different. It's so different.
Charles S. Dutton has a heavyweight boxing match with an alien. Don't like. Awesome.
That was
Rock,
actually...
Rock versus an alien? Come on.
Rock.
Dude, that was actually my biggest complaint about Predators. The newest Predators.
Fucking love that movie. What was your complaint?
I liked part of it because I did think it looked cool. My complaint was that I felt like when Arnold was there... And it was like these army dudes who were like the best of the best in the world with huge advanced machine guns and these dudes are all like 270 and like ripped and gargantuan.
Right.
And then there's these dudes they drop on there and they go head to head with predators. There's a guy who fights a predator with a sword by himself and actually wins. And you're like, that's ridiculous.
Well, wins is an overestimation.
Well, he dies.
Also, you're...
He kills the predator.
Spoiling the shit out of it. But yes, yes.
Who gives a shit? I don't need to...
Predators is good. Predators is good. And the whole point in Predators is that, no, they're better. It's like if they dropped 7 Arnold Schwarzeneggers.
But none of these dudes seem like 7 Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They're guys that the Predators have been watching and going like, ooh,
that's
that guy's
challenge.
A motherfucking killer.
See,
doesn't matter that they don't look like shit necessarily.
But dude, but that's what I'm saying though.
People complain about Adrian Brody like, oh, I couldn't buy him as a badass. It's like, have you met badasses? People that can like kill you with a touch, whatever? I've met a bunch of them. They're pot-bellied dudes. They're skinny dudes. They don't all look like fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger. I've met tons of people that could kill me with their thumb that look like a little fucking nothing. Yeah. Then I'm like, I can take that guy.
Okay, but here's the thing.
And then like, you know, you hear their background, you're like, oh, fuck.
These beings are supposed to be like, you know, 5 times as strong. They have like a... like a technological advantage.
They tried to get around it by saying that the predators were training.
Yeah, that's these were young predators.
That's number one. So you can kind of kill them.
Yeah.
You can kill them if you're kind of real bad. But the point is, they were following Topher Grace from the 70s show. Little white boy, about 150 pounds. While following this dude around, the predators was following a little skinny white boy around for weeks and weeks while he killed people with poison. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
The predators are attracted to guns. Motherfuckers shoot in. You know what I'm saying?
Or that's physically capable dudes.
But they look at the predator lore. They come in the hot months during hot-ass combat. They come to Nicaragua. They come to all these deadly areas. And they get, you know, armed people who are fighting in those type of conflicts and kill them.
But you can see very clearly that's not the predator lore. Because that happens in the first Predator movie, but the very next one, it's in a completely different location.
It was in the city where there was a hot ass time of gang violence and armed warfare so that they could find multitudes of soldiers that they could kill, not fucking dentists who were killing bitches with poison.
I'm telling you.
There's nothing about that would attract a predator from space. How do predators from space see you poisoning bitches? But they can see you shooting up a whole block, throwing grenades, blowing shit up. They can see that.
Part of being a hunter is the watching. I bet those motherfucking predators have to spend like a year before they're even allowed to touch a weapon just watching motherfuckers and learning how that vision works and learning how humans work or whatever prey they've got. I guarantee you.
Some predator in training, chilling out, watching Topher Grace kill people. With poison.
Yeah, he's watching to see if he gets with Donna or if he breaks up with her.
I'm just saying.
Also, how about put some other aliens on the planet too, instead of all humans? Like, were you just recruiting from Earth?
The whole time, predators are like, "That's Michael Kelso, so stupid."
Yeah, dude. I know this is way late,
but underrated movies that I wanted to talk about that I forgot to talk about. Just one, UHF. Right.
Is that underrated? It did poorly, but I mean, like, it's a huge cult hit.
I fucking love it.
I never saw it. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
As much as I like musical parodies, Weird Al Yankovic wasn't my boy.
Well, that one was not.
It's silly, stupid, funny. It's like, you know, in the vein of Airplane.
Now we're done. Okay. I think in closing, we're not actually, none of us sound worried about Star Wars. We all are actually pretty hopeful, which actually almost scares me. Because I've been hopeful quite a few times. The first Spider-Man movie, very hopeful. I felt like, oh man, I think this is going to be good. Because when they showed the trailer for it, it was like all web-slinging action. It looked really interesting. And then when I watched the movie, I wanted to punch people afterwards.
Look,
so, it makes me nervous that I'm going to be all excited to go see Star Wars again and then get disappointed.
Well, let me be clear then.
Yeah.
I'm not hopeful.
Oh, okay.
When you send in medical students to work on cadavers, you're not hopeful that the body is going to come back to life. If they happen to bring Star Wars back to life, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm not. It's like, I'm not hopeful that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just assume they're going to make a movie. It's either going to be fun or not. No matter what, it's always going to be dead for us. It's never going to be the original version. I'm sorry.
No, you're
but
right.
Like, but you like, know I mean, what? Like, it's
supposed to be, though. That's the one thing I would say. And I'm not trying to shit on everybody's parade.
It could be for kids. It really could.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Star Wars is for children. All you guys in your Jedi burkas chilling out, playing video games, listening to this or whatever. I'm not dissing you. Not at all. But that's a children's movie that you saw as a child. And all this reverence and all this shit is dumb. I don't worship Transformers because I stopped playing with Transformers. I love comic books because comic books can evolve. The ones that I read evolve all the time and they end just like real books. I don't read any serialized comic books anymore. I read graphic novels that end. You know what I'm saying? I like drawing. I like art. I like pictures. I like words. So yeah, I read that shit still, but I'm not playing with no damn Transformers and I'm not worshiping Star Wars anymore. It's not immature. It's just, it's lame, you know, to really expect a bunch out of them. That's why I love the fact that J.J. Abrams is doing them, because I think he's going to make them just action spectacles like they were supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that, like Avengers. Isn't for grown-ups necessarily. Little kids can watch Avengers. Old dudes can watch Avengers. It's badass.
And I would argue that Star Trek is exactly the same way. They were both incredibly crowd-pleasing movies that everybody is into. Iron Man.
Yep.
When Iron Man dropped, everybody loved it. Kids love it because it's a superhero. adults love it because, oh, this is a guy. Like, I totally get this guy. I get this guy right away. He's fun to watch, you know.
Well, and consequently, I was thinking about how many what we could term nerd movies are coming out in the next, like, year or even few months at this point. And it's...
Safe Haven is out right now. Is a ghost movie.
Yeah.
So there. That's a nerd movie.
There's a zillion. I mean, well, we've got
not really
Iron Man 3. We've got Thor 2, Captain America 2, Wolverine.
Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3. The Avengers 2, Guardians of the Galaxy. There's going to be another Hulk. There's going to be, I mean, it's to a point now. I'm wondering if at some point people are going to be like, can we just watch regular martial arts movies again?
No,
you know what I mean? Because, are people going to get bored of this?
Because those fucking come out too.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room for superhero movies. This is the whole thing with superhero movies.
It's a genre.
When people talk about it as a fact, no, it is a fucking genre. It's a subgenre of sci-fi. But when people talk about it as a fad, I'm like, go fuck yourself, man. We have been doing superheroes since the dawn of fucking time.
True.
Gilgamesh and shit, man. Look it up. We have been doing
Gilgamesh and shit.
Yeah, I should be writing blurbs.
We want that on the back of a DVD box. It's Gilgamesh and shit.
Hammurabi. Got this code. We've been doing superheroes, and we've been trying to do them on movies. You know, look at those old fucking Superman and Batman serials that came on, like, in the movie theater.
They tried.
It looks terrible. You know why? Didn't have the technology. Now that we got the technology, we are going buck wild. Are we going a little more wild than we will eventually? Maybe. Maybe we'll cool out on them a little bit, but honestly, I don't think so.
Well, I'm glad that we aren't.
I think they'll only keep going because they can
Worst that can happen to them is they turn into, like, Westerns. You remember how many people used to be down with? My dad was down with Westerns. As much as they, you know, didn't have no black folks in them, as much as the Indian got it, you know, got fucked up in them and all that stuff, my dad loved Westerns because they were an action genre that came up when he was a kid. The worst that can happen to comic book movies is they become Westerns, where every now and again, they'll do another fresh one.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a dead genre for a long time.
That's the
very worst that could ever happen to it. And I doubt that would happen.
I don't see that happening because
it's more malleable.
Exactly.
Comic book movies are more malleable.
The stories are vast and available.
When you say Western, you immediately are limiting yourself to a setting.
It's horses, music, unless
you want to argue that Star Wars is a space Western or that Serenity is a space Western. It's like, no, that is a sci-fi movie that has Western influence. Once you limit yourself like a Western, you know what I mean? Like, you are saying.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be nuts. I mean, there's time.
That is a movie that I could get disappointed by.
That's how I feel because it's so complicated. It's going to be easy to fuck up.
I love the book.
Yeah, Rocket Raccoon. We're going to have Rocket Raccoon talking.
We are, and it's great. Yeah. And I hope.
I'm not very hopeful for that.
Yeah, straight up talking raccoon.
I hope they cast it well. But this
is
the thing.
Ted.
When I found out that it was James Gunn, I fucking love James Gunn.
Yeah.
He's a super nice guy. All of his movies are they're good versions of whatever they are.
Yeah.
You know, Slither's a really good gross monster movie.
Yep.
You know, Dawn of the Dead is possibly the best horror remake that's come out in the past, you know, 15 years or whatever.
No argument there.
Because there have been a ton of them. Super is a great little tiny superhero movie. A great little dark superhero movie. He's been making good stuff, and he's been making good stuff with a strong voice, and them coming to him and saying, hey, we want you for this to write and direct it because we see your strong voice. It's going to be dark. It's going to be edgy. It's going to be badass. It's going to be different.
I definitely hope that it can be edgy with a talking raccoon.
I hope, and that's why, and a talking
dog with a cone on his head.
Really?
Well, if they do it from the book, he's got a cone on his head.
Oh, man.
Cosmo probably won't make an appearance. But that's just because he doesn't appear until later in the book. I imagine they're going to do the first story or a version of the first story. It's basically like the Dirty Dozen in an alien prison.
Okay.
Well, you sold me on that one.
Yeah,
right.
That sounds badass.
Whatever he is, he's a little thing that looks like a fucking raccoon, and so nobody expects him to be badass. And then when he's badass, it's super fucking fun. Cool. When you see him holding a huge machine gun and blowing people away, you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I can see that. All right.
Okay, well, let's do, we got 46 seconds. Let's do plugs? Plug it up.
I'm at Comedy Palace on the 28th, and show starts at 9, and Ed Gray Destroys on Twitter.
Is that this Thursday?
Yep.
Remind me about that.
Yeah, it's going to be
tight. I like the Comedy Palace.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Good food.
Go ahead.
I'm at Matt Blackwood on Twitter, and also listen to my podcast, What Were We Talking About, on iTunes. Our most recent episode, we just did an Oscars wrap-up kind of thing with Cole Stratton and his wife, Jenny. Cole Stratton from Pop My Culture.
Nice. And Ron Swallow, Angry Dork's podcast, every Saturday and Sunday, played streaming 11 to 2. And you can also check me out on Facebook and Twitter, Dorky Swallow. Yay, thanks.
You won't believe your eyes. Watch the X-ray run.